Hey there, everyone, and welcome back to The Outer Rim. This is episode number 78, and I have made my return. So thanks to Lou for filling in for me last week. Now, I do have both Mike and Lindsay with me tonight. How are y'all doing?
Oh, Faith and Megora, it's St. Patty's Day here.
That's cool, Mike.
I know. That's coming from
a Scot. Oh, good. I'm glad you're getting in the mood. I'm going to have a Guinness. I have one Guinness. I'm not going out because I value not being puked on today. So,
yeah, the traffic is nasty.
It is a holiday for staying home with friends and family.
Yeah, so, it is.
As
it
the cats would want. And killing some snakes, too. I love snakes. Gosh, I think I'm a snake hater.
Well, guys, it's about a month out from Celebration. Actually, Celebration will have, concluded in about a month, right?
Yep. I am staring.
The Drowning in Moonlight Gala is still available. Tickets are $40. All the proceeds are going to the Midnight Mission, so head on over to drowninginmoonlight.com for more.
Yep. Looking forward to going to that. I was not initially excited, but the closer I get, I think I'm getting excited for Celebration in general. So it'll be nice to go to that and hang out with some cool people.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I really wish I could go, but I am donating an art piece to be auctioned off. So if everyone wants to bid on that, I'm not seeing any of the proceeds. They're all going to the Midnight Mission, but I want my picture to, make a lot of money.
Definitely.
Well, speaking of Celebration.
Yeah, I was just going to say that we got quite a bit of news this week about that. Anthony Daniels and Riz Ahmed will be at Celebration. So another Rogue One actor.
I'm very
Actually,
excited.
Technically, two Rogue One actors. Because 3PO wasn't it.
Yes.
So that's nice. Now, Lindsay, you looked up Riz's autograph and photo price earlier.
I actually looked up both of them. Anthony Daniel is charging $75 for a autograph or a photo. Not both, obviously, but so if you wanted both, it'd be $125, if I'm doing my math correctly in my head real quick. And Riz is charging $65 per either autograph or photo.
Okay.
Riz, I don't know the days for Anthony. Riz is only going to be there on the 14th, which is the same day that Felicity is going to be there.
Oh, okay. Maybe they're doing like a Rogue One special. Alan Tudyk is going to be there, right?
Yes, he is also going to be there. And I suspect he's, if you give me 1 second, I can also confirm if he is there.
Yeah, check up on that.
Just
I think they did say he was signing, but...
He is actually, Alan is going to be there 14th, 15th, and 16th. He will be there all the days.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Depending on what else I want to do, might consider trying to get a photo op with him.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm a big fan of him outside of Star Wars, so
yes,
it would be nice to at least meet him and get a picture.
Funny story, I was actually... years ago, he did the Dr. Horrible sing along blog. He didn't do it, but I went to a screening by Whedonopolis up at this theater and this old timey theater in Hollywood, and he was there, and I was sitting right in front of him.
Oh wow!
And I was like, it's Alan Tudyk. I was still in my heavy brown coat Firefly days. Long story short, I've met most of the cast now except Nathan Fillion. And it's a running joke in my life where I'm this close to Nathan Fillion, but not meeting him. So, and turned out that evening, there was a guy dressed in a ninja costume sitting next to Alan Tudyk. It was Nathan Fillion, and I had no idea.
Oh, missed opportunity there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Well, one of these days, I'm sure you'll get the chance.
To be honest, I don't want to anymore. It's the running joke has gone on for so long that it would feel like a shame to end it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is true.
So, now something I'm more interested in these and from Celebration, because this is something that I can actually get possibly, is the art prints that are going to be Celebration exclusive. Force.net has a lot, has a big link, or has a list of links where you can pre-order some of them, or can you pre-order all of them?
You can't pre-order
all of them now.
Okay, but there are some on there that you can pre-order, so the prices are on there as well. There are a lot of good ones.
Mm-hmm. I will say it looks like most of them can be pre-ordered, but it really just depends.
I really want this one by Lindsay Bush. I think I'm saying that right. I'm probably not, though. But it's like this Japanese, like, styled Ahsoka print of just like her walking up steps and the, you know, the Converse, and it's beautiful.
Looking at that, and I like the in the background you have the Vader helmet.
Yeah, so it's like it's like her walking down the steps on Malachor.
Yeah,
but in the background are these hills, and it's like water like color painting, but the silhouette is of Vader's helmet, and this is my favorite one. Mm-hmm. Of all the prints. But I have to give a shout out to Katie Cook, who I adore, and her print is Rey and the story of the X-wing helmet that she gets.
And how she makes her little X-wing doll.
And how she makes her little X-wing pilot doll.
Little rebel doll.
It's really cute. And if you're familiar with Katie Cook's stuff, you know, she always knocks it out of the park with her with her celebration prints.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I have two of her celebration prints. She did a New Hope, Empire, and Jedi. And I have a New Hope and Jedi, and I can't get the Empire one yet. But there's 250 of those. The Ahsoka one that I mentioned is limited edition to 250. There's a good one of Jyn, K2, Cassian, shooting some stormtroopers by Joe Corney, who's another one of my favorite artists. That one's going for $60. I think that's another one of 250. Yeah.
The one, my personal favorite out of all of them, and is, let me find the name of the Russell Wulks one of Leia.
Oh, yeah. That one's really, really nice.
And it has her in her, the end, end of the movie of Star Wars,
yeah,
her
little award ceremony,
and it says Hope at the bottom of it. And if you, but right below that, out of the main frame of it, it says for Carrie, and it's gorgeous.
Yeah, and it's done in, it's kind of done in that like Art Nouveau style, at the frame. The actual picture of Leia itself isn't, but I like it.
It's it is, and it is not pre-sale. I also like the William O'Neill piece too, which has the scene in Star Wars where Luke and Leia swing across when they're in the Death Star. That is an addition of 250, but the use of negative space in that one is really, really neat because everything's in blue except for them, as in white, and it's really gorgeous.
And there's a great one of Rebels by Alex Bichel that I'm kind of digging. Not as much as the Ahsoka print, but I really like this Rebels one. Mm-hmm. Got Ezra in the middle. Everybody's season 3 looks.
Now,
Big problem, though, with it.
No chopper?
No chopper.
I knew it. Yeah, there is no chopper.
Oh, but that would annoy me.
But it's really good though, because it's got Hera, Sabine, Ezra, Zeb, and Kanan, and the background is the ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if he did it in watercolor, but it looks watercolor, and I like that.
Yeah,
it's definitely in a watercolor color style. Real clean lines, but it looks like it was colored in with watercolor.
We should probably mention too that if you aren't going to Celebration, and you know someone that it is. I don't know if this is true for all artists, but I know some of them, you can pre-order it now and then have someone go to Celebration and pick it up for you. You just have to specify who that person is. So, yeah, I'm going to attempt not to buy any just because I already have art from Celebration Anaheim that is just in a poster tube that will eventually get put up on the wall when I have space. But, yeah, it's hard to tell. I'm very bad when it comes to impulse purchases and art. I did that a lot at New York Comic Con. I think I got like 3 or 4 pieces that I didn't intend to buy. But actually I got, a Celebration London exclusive while I was there from one of my favorite artists. So unfortunately not in the chosen list here, but
I also have a Star Wars Celebration London piece actually on my wall right now. That I got at San Diego Comic-Con because the creator had some left over, and so he brought them to Comic-Con to sell, and so I got one. So just because you can't get it doesn't necessarily mean that it will sell out. You might be able to get it through other means, not at an exorbitant price. Yeah. I didn't pay any more than he was charging earlier. So
yeah, my Katie Cook Return of the Jedi one, I got because someone else didn't pick it up. And so she, because I'm friends with her on Facebook, she had posted that she had an extra one.
Ooh.
So I was like, and I ran over there.
Yeah, if you want to see all of them in one central location, like Mike said, theforest.net has a whole list and links to where you can pre-order them. Yep. So speaking of pre-ordering things and signing up for things, we have some other exclusives that got announced. The one I'm kind of bummed about is the Funko exclusives. Now, they haven't announced what the actual exclusives are, and I'm really hoping it's nothing really amazing. So the way they
could be everything you want.
Yeah, probably. It'll probably be like all of my favorite characters and cool designs. But the way they do it is you have to sign up for a lottery, and yes. I assume they it's like a random process that if you get chosen, you would have to show up at a certain time. I think it's at 10 o'clock and 12 o'clock of each day.
Right.
They will let so many people in to get one of each item. And if you don't get in, then you have to wait until 2 o'clock each day, hoping, which you're probably not going to get anything, but hoping that some of the exclusives are left over, because that's when it opens to the public. So, if you want to, I'm seeing the article now, if you want to sign up for that, I think that starts, I don't know exactly when.
It begins on April 1st or on March 31st, depending on your time zone. Pacific Standard Time, it opens at 12 a.m. our time, but that's going to be, it just depends.
Oh, I'm actually
where you live.
I'm seeing that it goes live on Monday, March 20th at 12 noon Eastern, and closes on the 1st.
It closes on the 1st. I apologize, guys. It closes on the 1st.
So you,
which also you still need to make sure and convert your time, because depending on your time zone, it's going to open at different times, guys. So
yeah, and if you do get if you're a winner, as they say, you will be notified by April 5th. Of the date and time that you can line up. But note that if you get one of those, you're not necessarily going to get the exclusive that you want. It just depends when you get in line. So I I understand that Funko is a big thing, and they kind of have to do it this way. But it's still a bummer that if you don't get this, then you're probably not going to get an exclusive.
And they are doing this at all conventions now.
Yeah.
I actually do not recall if they actually did this in Emerald City, but they did this at New York. And they're doing this here. And I'm pretty sure they did something similar. The first time they implemented it was New York.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, I will say that when I went to New York, first of all, I didn't even know about the lottery until after it closed.
Oh, and for the record, I just double checked. Emerald City did have the lottery as well. Okay. So Funko is doing this from now on.
I know when I went to New York, I didn't get the lottery, but me and Lou went by the booth. I think it was well into the afternoon, I think on Friday. And I mean, that was, it's a more popular than Celebration, so it's going to be more picked over. But they had, I think they had a few things. I can't remember. It was like the Indiana Jones car. I think that was one of the exclusives there. They had quite a few of those left over. So, I mean, you're probably going to run out of luck if you go, if like you go after 2 o'clock and attempt to get something, but there's at least a chance. Again,
and also
it really just depends on what they have as the exclusives.
Right. And again, remember, it's one per person. So if your friend wants something and you also want it, you really need to determine how much you like your friend.
Exactly. And it also said that, I know this probably wouldn't apply to most people, but you can only get in line if you have a ticket thing, and there are no exceptions. So I wonder if you're with your kid, what they would do.
Well, if you're with your kid, yes, because your kid's not going to buy anything. But
that's true. So yeah, just keep an eye on that if you want to get in the Funko or attempt to get into the Funko lottery. We also have the Hallmark exclusives were announced. I know Lou will like this because he is a big Hallmark fan. Actually, I think that was the very first thing he did. One of the first things he did in Anaheim. I think he goes to the Lego booth and the Hallmark booth for their exclusives. But they were announced. Let's see. They have an ornament that is a Stormtrooper that's based on the Ralph McQuarrie design. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then they have two of the itty bitties. It's going to be, let's see, Snaggletooth and Hammerhead from the Mos Eisley Cantina. Each itty bitty package in a blister card has a total production run of 3,000, and sales will be limited to 750 per day. So that is good that they are doing it on a per day basis, evening them out. In addition, a blue-suited Snaggletooth will be available loose, so it won't be carded, and it has a total production run of 1,000, with sales limited to 250 per day. I love the itty-bitties, so I'm glad that this is nothing really major that I want. Otherwise, I would probably have to get in line for it. But it's just another line thing, so it's not, you don't have to do a lottery or anything. And I know they also give out, like, pins and stuff like that, too, at that booth. So, will you guys be going after the Hallmark stuff?
No.
No, I've never been a fan of Hallmark stuff.
I like ornaments, but there's nothing on there that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
The little Snaggletooth and the Ithorian, though.
It's cute, but not, I'm going to maul other cute. People yet.
Yeah, they're cute, but they would probably wind up as like dog toys for me.
Yeah,
for my dog. So, yeah, I mean they're cute, but I've never really been a fan of Hallmark stuff, especially after the Death Star debacle from the holiday ornaments. So,
Yeah, that was a big ordeal.
Like they're cute, and I can understand why people are going to want them because Hallmark's. Basically an institution. They've been around for like a billion years.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, maybe I might do it. Just if like I go by and they still have some, maybe, but I'm not going to make it a priority. So, oh well. So, both of you went to Anaheim, right?
No.
Anaheim. Lindsay, you
did. I didn't go because I was silly and thought it was in Anaheim every year. Okay. And then I was like, oh, no. That's okay. I'm making it up, but no. So it was just Mike.
Now, I didn't do this in Anaheim, and I don't know if you did, Mike. Did you do the Ahsoka Lives Day?
I did not.
Okay. So if anyone doesn't know what that is, it's I don't want to say small fan-made event, but...
But it is a fan-made event.
Yeah, but I didn't want to characterize it as small, because if you look up the picture, there's a lot of people in it. But basically, you go to this central location and get a picture taken with a bunch of people that are wearing either Ahsoka Lives t-shirts or Ahsoka cosplay, or, you know, something involving Ahsoka, be it accessories, you know, a costume, a shirt, whatever. It's organized by Amy Ratcliffe and Jenna Marie Macias. So, as well as, I think Ashley is at least involved. I know she's there for the picture, but I don't know if she's involved in the actual, like, creation and planning of it. But it will be back at Celebration Orlando, so if you're going, you can join in for the group photo event. It will be Saturday, April 15th at 2 o'clock p.m. on the main lobby stairs near Lobby B, near the entrance. So if you if you're wearing something Ahsoka that day, or if you're in a costume, shirt, whatever, go and participate in that group photo. And if you're not, for fans at home, we encourage you to participate by sharing photos of your Ahsoka-themed outfits or costumes by using the hashtag AhsokaLives. I'm glad they're doing this, because not only is this a good thing for promotion of the character, because I feel like she's a popular one with the Star Wars fandom, but not in the mainstream, just because she's not a movie character.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that she's getting some love. And it's also nice that Ashley is willing to also help promote this and be in the picture. She's a nice person. I like her.
Mm-hmm.
I've met her twice now. So yeah, that's about all of the Celebration news we have. I feel like each week we have something, which is good. Pretty soon we're going to have that panel schedule, and then we're going to have to dissect that.
Yeah, you guys are going to have to make your plan of attack.
Yeah.
Ugh.
While I sit over here and do nothing.
Well, hey, at least you won't have to stress about it.
Oh, that's true. But that's the kind of stress I want to deal with.
That is true. Good point.
Now, this was kind of some interesting news. There's going to be Star Wars movies made that won't focus on legacy characters, which I think kind of ties into this Ahsoka Lives thing, because then you got, you know, people getting, I think they're using Ahsoka Lives Day to kind of gauge how much love Ahsoka's getting, and there you go. So I'm starting that theory right now.
Yeah, well, they've already had an Ahsoka book, so.
I mean, the next step is an Ahsoka, a Star Wars story.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this. I saw this, and I originally thought to myself, well, duh, like, how is this news? Like, shouldn't it be obvious? And then I was thinking, well, we had Rogue One, which was about an event that we already knew about, and it had new characters, but it was about an event overall that we'd known about, you know, since the very first movie.
Right.
We're going to have Han Solo, who, again, is a character that we know about from the first movie. But I'm assuming this is more talking about the spinoffs, because I feel like at least the sequel trilogy for the time being will always somehow relate to the one before it. And then if there's a trilogy after Episode 9, then it'll relate to the one before it. So it's always going to at least in some way be related. So I don't know really how to feel about this. Like, I like it because I obviously want to see completely new Star Wars movies that have nothing to do with the characters that we already know about. And I think they can explore different types of movies and different genres by doing this. I just don't know how the general public will feel about it. And I'm hoping that with, you know, the further we get into the sequel trilogy and the more we start to have these new characters establish and get away from the old people, I'm hoping that at least the general mainstream or the casual Star Wars fan will be more open to different types of stories, like Rogue One, like the Han Solo movie. I just hope that they don't, again, oversaturate the market with these spinoffs.
I don't think they're going to oversaturate the market, because there's still the hunger for more Star Wars content. But, I mean, you know, the first thing that everyone's going to read into this is like, oh my God, there's going to be an Old Republic movie now.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're that much closer to one. I mean, that's what I like about this. And I've said it before, like, that's what I love about the Star Wars story movies is like, you can do the crazier stuff here.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be about the legacy characters. It's cool that these things are kind of filling in the gaps in a way. Like, we found out that the Death Star is like fueled by kyber crystals in Rogue One. You know, it's that's what the Star Wars story movie should be.
Yeah.
You know, more than like, and that's why the Han Solo movie feels kind of like a disappointment, is that it's just because it's about a character that we've already, explored in four movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, too, but people have so many thoughts about, like, all of the old Legends universe when it comes to Han. And, I mean, when you have how many years, not just the original three movies, but all of the books after that that featured him, plus The Force Awakens, which, I mean, I know the books and The Force Awakens aren't in the same canon, but still, you have that preconceived thought of who and what Han Solo is, so...
We also already had the young Han Solo trilogy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and that's presumably the same time frame.
Yeah. Again, people that have listened to these podcasts on our network for a while now know that I'm not a fan of the Han Solo movie or the idea of it. Something tells me that there's another reason that they're making this movie aside from, hey, let's make a Han Solo movie. And I don't know what that could be. I just feel like there's a catch to it.
See, this is, and that's what I was kind of thinking. Like, Star Wars stories movies are going to serve the canon in some way. Like, it's going to be like that's why they did it moment. Yeah. Episode 9, because that's coming, Han Solo's coming before that. Episode 9 is going to be the story of Han Solo's gold. See?
Yeah.
That's my theory.
I don't know. I'm keeping my hopes really low for this movie.
Well, I think you need. Good, but... I think you need a new hope, Chris.
Ha. Do you like my enthusiastic laughter there?
I do. It was heartfelt and genuine.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if, like, they did this movie as a vehicle to introduce everybody that's involved with Han Solo and then did movies about them. Like, I would take a Woody Harrelson movie. Please. A Star Wars story, Woody Harrelson. Being grumpy and drunk.
Think about it like that. Like, think about that, too. Like,
yeah.
What if a character from this Han Solo movie shows up in a future movie?
Yeah.
Sure.
Or, like, say we don't know.
No, he'd be so old, unless he's, like, not human and doesn't age like a human. He would be too old.
I'm
going linear. You're right.
We also don't know what, like, this character could appear in episode 8. And then the Han Solo story is where that character came from.
Yeah.
He'd be so old in episode 8. Woody Harrelson is not a young fellow.
Yeah, but if he's playing an alien, then it doesn't matter. If he's playing Jackson, you know, space rabbits don't age. So
space rabbits.
I'm excited. I want more Star Wars. Like, that's what I want the side stories to focus on.
I want non-main character stories. That's why I loved Rogue One so much, is because I wanted a grunt story, and we got the grunt story without involving people we knew. And I loved everyone we met. I am going to be paying to get a picture with Bodhi. Because he was my favorite. Bodhi. You say his name and he just sounds cute. But I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, they introduced all these characters, but as we all well know, unless we're going to show movies that are before Rogue One, we won't be seeing the Rogue One characters in future movies. So they got rid of a whole cast of characters we can't use again.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of getting rid of things in Rogue One.
Exactly.
Gareth Edwards came out and talked about the deleted scenes.
Finally. And that's something I brought up. I don't remember when I brought that up. I brought that up at some point.
Okay. And
I brought it up in one of our podcasts, guys. Someone on Twitter will recognize that.
But no, so Gareth Edwards kind of came out and said why we won't be seeing the deleted scenes. And it's basically because the way I took it was that you can't just reinsert the deleted scenes into the movie and have it make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's specifically because of the reshoots.
Yeah.
You can still have them on the disc. A lot of movies still do that.
See, that's what I think.
Like, I get his sentiment behind it, but that really just feels like an excuse.
Yeah, it does. Especially when he talks about the alternate version of the Scarif battle where, like, you had them trying to avoid the blaster fire with the ACTs. ACTs. I never know how to pronounce that one because they're not AT. How do you help me, guys?
ATACT.
Yeah. They need to find a better way to. It's just a gumble of words, guys. But
ADACT.
The ADACT. But he said that the visual effects were never finished on it, and that's the reason that's why they just didn't put it on there because it's just not sitting around. But the thing is, apparently, they had enough shots to make it in the trailer. And I've watched lots of movies where you'd get a friggin' deleted scene that's a green screen that gives you information about the characters that helps inform them. It doesn't finish things, and it's great.
Yeah. We have deleted scenes from Star Wars movies that have been treated as canon for a long time. Like, mm-hmm. that's how we knew about Padme's family.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because of that whole deleted scene. Like, there's a precedent for it already. There might be some other reasons why he can't or he doesn't want to release it, and that's fine. Like, this is his movie.
Maybe he's just not into that kind of thing.
Yeah, and that's fine, but
it's not his kink. I don't know.
this just feels like an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I agree.
To be fair, if you remember I'm specifically thinking about episode 2 and 3's deleted scenes. They could still be, it's not like they were alternate versions of the story or alternate versions of the scenes. They were like, you could theoretically finish them up, put them into the movie, and yeah, it might mess up the pacing or make another scene feel weird, but it would still fit. I'm thinking specifically of like, from episode 3, Yoda's arrival on Dagobah or, the death of Shaak Ti.
Well, I was going to say no, because Shaak Ti also had different ones, because she had two death scenes, and then you had the weird, because there was, like, the one where she was killed by Grievous, then there was the one where she was killed by Anakin, mm-hmm. and then, because this was way back then, she died in the Force Unleashed video game.
Yeah.
So, like, even back then, your deleted scenes couldn't always be inserted.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I'm saying, like, there's precedent for this, and it's okay to just have them on the DVD and just be like, hey, like, this is what could have happened. These are deleted scenes. We made the other mm-hmm. choice, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. X-Men First Class does that with most of their deleted scenes. Most of their deleted scenes change character motivations quite a bit, and they took them out for a reason. And they're really ridiculously silly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Plus, we also don't know the extent of these scenes. I mean, like, most of the trailer stuff is just a few seconds long. And, you know, you don't know how much, aside from maybe like one or two shots, is actually different, too. I mean, again, we're going off trailer footage. We don't know how much. I know that there was the whole point where, you know, we saw the characters running on the beach. We don't know exactly how long that sequence is had it made it into the movie. I mean, I know there's an entire alternate ending, but like he said, there's not footage like just laying around that they can just splice together to make a coherent alternate ending.
I think the biggest one that I want to see more than the one of them running along the beach is when she's walking on the cat, when Jin's walking on the catwalk and stares down the TIE fighter that pulls up in front of her.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I want to know how that scene ended.
And he's much more coy about that.
Like,
he talked about that, and he was much more cagey about that.
My headcanon is that the TIE fighter just gets shot down by one of the X-Wings that's on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want to know how, like, because that was like my cover photo on Facebook for a while, because I love that shot of just her with a blaster walking up to a TIE fighter. Like, something about that is just so cool.
And I'm, you know, and my favorite scene that didn't make it in was when you've got Krennic being like, the power.
Oh, yeah, like the ultimate power.
It's my favorite line. And there's no way they didn't shoot that entire scene, because you don't just shoot. He's in the middle of a speech, so at least that speech exists somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that was a meme for a while, was power. You know, like,
what does it do? It's the Death Star. It's Star. What does it do? Death. It was my favorite thing.
Yeah, like that was a meme for a while, and it's like that meme kind of just died out because we found out that scene wasn't in the movie.
Yeah.
So, thanks Gareth Edwards for killing a meme.
Well, hey, it's just another reason that in the next, you know, 10, 15 years, they can re-release Rogue One as a special edition.
Give them ideas.
Hey, that idea has been there since 97. So
they're already doing the one edition that comes out next month, and then the next edition that comes out around Christmas with even more features, the ones that are missing from this one.
It's going to happen.
So
just like TFA was.
Ugh.
I bought one copy of it, and it was the first one.
Yep.
They couldn't get me. They're not going to get me.
I'm waiting for a box set.
Yeah. To be fair, though, there will never be a true 100% complete box set of Star Wars movies.
That's why I'm gonna buy them in threes now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to buy the 3-pack of the prequel trilogy, the 3-pack of the original trilogy, the 3-pack of the sequel trilogy.
What about the standalones?
Well, the standalones will be fine, though, because they're going to be standalones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those I can kind of insert in between, like, on the shelf where they go canonically.
Yeah.
Or chronologically. So that way, to me, it'll look better. But, like, that way I don't buy something that's called the complete saga and have it be a lie.
Yeah. That still bugs me. I'm glad I didn't buy it.
Well, I did, and you can share in my pain. So... anyway, last thing on this week is a sneak peek was revealed at Star Wars Land.
A very small sneak peek. I actually open up the video that they attached to this story, and it opened up in a new tab, and then I finished reading, because I was waiting for it to load, and I finished reading the article, and I go over to see the video, and it's already ended, because it was only 27 seconds long.
Well, there still isn't a whole lot to show. A lot of it is concept and animatics, but it's definitely worth checking out. And I mentioned before that I drive by it. If you go to one of the aerial shots in the upper left hand corner, that is the street I always drive down, and then you'll see the palm trees. That's the berm I was talking about a couple episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how close it is to the outside world.
The more I see of this, and the closer we get, I know we're still 2 years out from it, but I'm just so excited.
Yeah, I can't wait until this is all done.
And you know that they're going to have it ready by the time Celebration is ready to be there again. And if they have the next U.S. Celebration in 2019, I have a strong feeling that there will be less people at the con than expected, just because they'll all be at Disney World. or Disneyland?
Oh, I'm betting it. Celebration 2019 is going to be in Anaheim. Like I said last week, you've got Episode 9 wrapping up, coming out that year.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Star Wars Land opening up that year.
Yep.
Like, as much as like Orlando is over there, like this, the Anaheim Convention Center is across the street from Disneyland, so it's much closer than the Orlando Convention Center to Disney World. Plus, all the Disney brass is out here in California. Like, it just makes more sense just financially to have it right there.
Yeah.
So,
isn't it crazy to think about that in 2 years we will have seen two Star Wars movies? Whereas,
I mean, it feels a little weird that, like, right now, yeah, we've seen two Star Wars movies.
Well, I mean, we will have seen two more, is what I'm saying, cuz we'll have seen Episode 8 and Han Solo. Whereas before, during the prequel days, let's say we're in 2003 or March 2003, by the time we get to March 2005, we've seen nothing. Because Episode 3 hadn't been released yet, but it was after Episode 2. So it still baffles me that we're getting one Star Wars movie a year. And if they keep the Han Solo May release date intact, we'll have Episode 8, and then 5-6 months later, we'll have another movie, which is just, again, strange.
Yeah, but I'm okay with it. You know, like, Star Wars, I mean, Star Wars, if anything, like, this goes back to that serial that George Lucas wanted to create.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Disney's finally, or not finally, because this seems to be their plan, is to make it that serial and just have that come out constantly and telling different stories.
Yeah.
I mean, they're doing, yeah.
So I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm. As long as they don't diminish the quality in favor of quantity, I will take it.
Yeah, I think two a year would definitely be pushing it, but like one a year is fine.
Yeah, it keeps people's interest up, and again, I just don't want them to also, we had the people saying, well, where's Rogue One? Why is Rogue One not contain any of the Episode 7 characters? And then you have to explain that whole ordeal, so.
Yeah, but that was definitely before. Like, I think now that Rogue One came out and did so well,
mm-hmm.
I think the casual audience has kind of learned now, like, oh, okay. Like, yeah. this is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they should still call the saga movies by their episode number to mm-hmm. kind of lessen that confusion even more. But a Star Wars story branding is probably the biggest, like, help mm-hmm. right now. So, like, basically, just if anyone asks you, say, does the title say a Star Wars story? Yes. Then it's not a saga movie.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it, actually.
So,
and it's easy for people to, I guess, associate the two. And eventually, if this trend continues of saga movie standalone, then I think people will eventually get the idea of, hey, the last one we saw dealt with these characters, this one's going to be completely different, and then one after that will revert back. So,
yeah.
Well, I think that's all we have this week, unless you guys have any news stories that I'm unaware of.
No,
not that I can think of.
Pretty slow. We're kind of in that calm before the storm of real, you know, celebration news of, like, details on the panels, so. Mm-hmm.
I did see on Twitter before we started recording, and I didn't put this in the notes because it's not news. It's just, I don't want to, just in case he's wrong, I don't want to out him, but I did see that we might get a look at the new Star Wars game coming out at Celebration, including a trailer.
Oh, I think we mentioned that last week, but yeah, we know that EA is going to be there. And then BioWare is going to be having a little party off-site for Star Wars Old Republic MMO.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and they've been having those parties at Cons They're At.
Yeah, they have. But I mean, this is going to be the one at Celebration.
Yeah, and then, so this is even better.
Yeah, so this one's even better. Like they do it at New York Comic Con, and they give out some like stuff for like in the game. So they'll give you a code, you add that to your account, and you'll get a speeder. It's the it's called Cantina Tour.
Last year they did. Yeah, I guess it was last year at New York Comic Con. They also did a live feed with a couple of the voice actors and did question and answer. I think it was voice actors. I was in the back eating food. I'm sorry. I was hungry. I got there a little late. But yeah, it was a really neat little event. They showed us footage and things like that. It was good.
But yeah, definitely check it out. Because I'm interested. We know that EA is working on a big Star Wars game.
Probably Battlefront 2.
They're working on a single player game. With Visceral and Amy Henning, who used to be the head of the Uncharted games. Ooh, so
that could be
that is. There's definitely a pedigree. I love Amy. She's a sweetheart. I've met her before. And I am thoroughly excited about this because once she left Naughty Dog, EA kind of swooped in, picked her up, and said she's working on a Star Wars movie. So I really, really want to see. Like, we got a little teaser. I can't remember if it was last year at Celebration or if it was at E3, but they kind of where they showed it like that little clip.
Yeah,
and supposedly they're going to show more of that game here. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to be the Star Wars 1313. Yeah, I think that project is officially dead.
Yeah, they might have influences, but that's about it.
I was going to say, I wouldn't be surprised if they took inspiration from that, though.
Yeah, because a lot of people were really looking forward to that, and I think enough of it was not finished, but enough of it was at least put into effect, like beyond that, just the design and concept stage, to where they could use it.
Well, that game itself was pretty much Star Wars Uncharted.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're gonna cop, like, and they did the same thing with Force Unleashed. Like, that was Star Wars God of War.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they're copying what works, and that's fine. You know. So yeah. So I'm excited.
Hopefully we'll get some news before the convention. I'm not a big fan of go to the panel to possibly see something or they don't tell you what's going to be revealed. That was kind of a bummer for people that didn't go to the Rogue One panel at Celebration Anaheim and missed out on the little teaser reel that they showed. I was there, it was fine, but
then on the flip side, you spoil your surprise.
Yeah. Well, they didn't say like we're going, they just said they were going to have a conversation, that it's not like they said and have more surprises. People were just assuming that it was just going to be at the time Gareth Edwards and Josh Trank talking. Like, no one expected any kind of footage, even just CGI stuff, to be revealed. But hey, that's just why you go to all those big panels, because you never know what you'll miss out on, because that footage was never released to the public. And as far as I know, it's just Celebration stuff that will always remain like that until, like I said, 10 years from now when they need a new special edition to release of the movie, and it'll get put on there somehow. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for this week's Outer Rim. If you like what you hear, you can let us know. We have our email. It's outerrim@randomchatter.com. That goes to the three of us, so we will see it. We have our Facebook for the network, facebook.com/randomchatternetwork, so give us a like there. Follow us on Twitter @OuterRimPodcast and also @RandomChatter for the entire network. My Twitter is @TheCurseOfChris. Mike, what is your Twitter?
You can follow me on Twitter @It'sTheRocketeer. That's ITS, The Rocketeer.
And Lindsay?
You can follow me @Betty, BETTIE, Bloodshed. And we'd also like you to support the network, so leave us reviews on iTunes or whatever podcast app you use. And if you want to, you can also donate to the network on Patreon, and it's patreon.com/randomchatter. A dollar will get you into our Slack channel, which will allow you to talk to some of us who use Slack, which is everyone really but me. Sorry, guys. you can get me on Twitter. And also, really, just spread the word and tell your friends about us. We always like having new listeners, and we would really like to get some feedback so we know if you guys like what we're doing or not.
And you can go check out what we're doing at randomchatter.com. So we redid the website recently where we've kind of broken it down, making it easier to find all the shows, including the award-nominated Ghost Stories of Rebels podcast that I do with Lindsay. So if you want to head on over to StarWarsPodcastAwards.com, we are nominated for the TV review show. So just scroll on down there and click yes on or vote for Ghost Stories. And also Jedi Journals is nominated, which is done by Jay and Josh. So head on over there. There, what's it? Literature?
Yes. Literature podcast.
So definitely check their show out and vote for them as well. But we also have Echo Base, Random Chatter, the two other main shows on the network. The other show I do, Retro Convo. And a lot of other great shows on the network.
Yep. When does the voting for podcast awards close? Do you know?
It closes on April 1st, I believe.
April 1st, okay. So people still have time.
Like the Funko, we also close on April 1st.
Yeah.
And it's... Oh, I try to think of an April 1st, April Fool's joke there.
And it ain't no joke. Ba-dum-bum. I'm sorry, guys. I'll see myself out.
Bum, 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 bum.
One last shout-out we'd like to give is to Jedi News for featuring our podcast each week on their site. So thanks to Mark and everyone there for doing that for us. Finally, the music you hear at the start of this podcast, not at the end, is the Star Wars main theme by a band called Galactic Empire. They released their self-titled album through Rise Records, which is just rock and metal versions of a bunch of Star Wars songs. It's pretty good. I might actually do a review of it soon. So if you are a fan of rock or metal or just Star Wars, check it out because it's pretty well done. So shout out to Galactic Empire. All right, well, that's all we got this week. Thank you both for joining me today, as always. And we will see you next time.
Hey, sorry, folks. I'm sure to do better next time.
This podcast is copyright to randomchatter.com and is not affiliated with Lucasfilm or Disney. All music and sounds are copyright to their respective owners.